Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A day that started with Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay, according to reports. A night that ended with pick number 32 and the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers going with a linebacker from Washington, Joe Tryon. And there's a lot more to come. And there was a lot that was jammed in between those two big events. I thought it was really cool to see the number of Alabama products, six of them in the first round, which ties the record set by Miami back in 2004. I was thrilled to see Devontae Smith go at number 10 overall. The Eagles actually moved up to get him, which I think is neat. And they traded with the Dallas Cowboys, their NFC East rival, to grab Devontae. And he's impressed me not only on the field, but off the field as well. Patrick Surtain, he was sporting an incredible pink suit. So there's a lot to like about what we saw with the Alabama contingent. But also, did you know it's the first time in any NFL draft that seven players from one side of the ball were taken with the first seven picks in a row? Seven offensive players. Bing, 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 bing. First time that's ever happened where one side has had the first seven picks in a row. So there's a lot to like. I think Cleveland did a fantastic job. I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing the rest of the draft. But this is one of the reasons why the NFL wants to move it around, is because you've got fan bases that are so thrilled to have it. We know next year it'll be in Las Vegas. It was supposed to be there, of course, in 2020. My years all blend together. It was supposed to be there last spring, and it wasn't. It was Roger Goodell's basement, and everyone connected virtually, 700 different cameras. I think the NFL did a good job of incorporating both on this Thursday night, and we got the best of both worlds, including Rodgers' comfy chair. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. I don't want you to go there now and check it out, but the NFL Network is actually replaying the first round of the NFL draft. If you missed it, I know it's on radio as well. When I was driving, I was listening to the NFL Network coverage and some of the Westwood One coverage, and so good stuff. It definitely is a night that has become a marquee event, not just for the NFL, but for fans and also for those of us in media. I mean, we've got full phone lines. You're blowing up my social media. It's a big deal. And the league gets credit for the way that they have turned it into this must-see, must-hear event where you get FOMO. Remember we talked about FOMO earlier in the week, or was it last week? I asked you which athletes give you FOMO. Well, there's FOMO when it comes to the NFL draft. So producer Dave, having seen what we've seen, I'll ask you this again, because we don't know the final numbers yet. We won't until after the weekend is over. Just in general, though, the excitement, the anticipation, the electricity, do you think there will be over or under the 55 million viewers from a year ago?
I thought this when we posted it the other day, and I still think it now. I think it's over. I think so many people are interested in this, and it's, like you said, full phone lines, the NFL. You say it all the time, but I'm going to repeat you. The NFL drives the bus.
The NFL That's does what it drive is. The bus.
That's it.
In fact, right now it's driving about six or seven buses. There's a convoy. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. We're getting right back to your calls. This time next hour, the athletic director from the University of Oklahoma, Joe Castiglione, I had a chance to spend probably a half hour, maybe even longer, on the phone with him. We're not going to replay all of that. Some of it was personal conversation because I've known Joe for 20 years. He was kind enough to share his thoughts, the emotions, the struggles, the tough decisions, the leadership that he had to show in the last year as he was trying to take care of his athletes, but also follow the best health and safety protocols. And so I talked to him. He was amazing. And we'll take just a brief detour from the draft, though he did talk about the draft, too. Joe Castiglione of OU, the athletic director, longtime athletic director at the top of Next Hour. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Two particular picks that were made by guests on stage I really enjoyed. One Dallas, one Cleveland.
And with the 12th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Michael Parsons. Woo! Linebacker, Penn State.
So that lady was introduced as a veteran, as someone who is who's really gone out of her way to work in the community. And she was so excited. She was bouncing up and down like she was on a pogo stick. And then when she got to take her mask off, it did seem like Roger said to each of the guests, you can take your mask off to make the pick. When she got a chance to make the pick, she was so out of breath because she'd been jumping up and down, but was so excited, too, for the Dallas Cowboys. And certainly Micah Parsons, he felt that electricity because the Penn State linebacker gets up to the stage and actually says to Roger, are you ready for this? And Goodell's like, yep. And he jumps on him. Good thing Roger's not a small man, because Micah Parsons would take down many other adult males. So that was kind of cool. And then,
thank you.
I loved it when the Cleveland native, a young woman, actually a high schooler, I think a senior in high school, who taken the time over the last year not only to raise money for young people to have access to technology as they're attempting to learn from home, but also to teach them how to use their computers, to teach them how to be connected virtually. And so to see a senior up there with such poise and to hear her enthusiasm was also really cool.
Are you guys ready for the best in the land with the 26th pick for the 2021 NFL Draft for the Cleveland Browns? We have Gregory Newsom II.
She was great. So the guests were really cool. The Patriots had one as well. If I'm not mistaken, the Bears also had one. And there may have been a few more in there. But yeah, I thought it was neat to mix in the elements of being together and getting out and having a party, but also connecting with people all over the country. And I do hope that even as we move on from the pandemic, this is just a side note, but I heard July 1st is the date that the state of New York is hoping to be fully open. Okay, New York's generally trailing the pack. So if New York plans to be open by July 1st, then you would expect a good portion of the United States would be open by then as well. And so even as we go back to our familiar rhythms, it's great that we're connected in ways that we never were before, and I hope we keep that. So I thought the league did a really good job of incorporating both of the elements together and yet connected, even when we're not together. All right, let's go back to our phones, and then I'm going to read some of your social media responses. 855-212-4227. Lori is listening in Phoenix. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing tonight? It's been a definite whirlwind of events.
Yes.
Surrounding the draft, especially front of the Niners. So we definitely have been kind of at the point where we really didn't know who we were going to go with. I mean, not that you ever really know, but I mean, it really swung back and forth between Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones. And then even today with the Aaron Rodgers situation, it was like, oh, maybe they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. So I really was happy when I heard the pick was Trey Lance. It was one of those where you're like, okay, this seems like it makes sense. Now, I was thinking it was going to be Justin Fields myself just because of the experience factor. But I like the idea of it being Trey Lance. I like the idea for Jimmy. I mean, there was rumors surrounding Jimmy as well, going to the Patriots or being traded away. And I kept thinking, this doesn't make sense to me. I just don't see them moving off of Jimmy. And the Niners have been really honest when it comes to what they're doing. You know, I mean, obviously with the draft stuff, it's been under lock and key. I love that. I love that they didn't tell anybody. I mean, even Jed York was kind of trying to say today, oh, he didn't know. He knew, but he was trying to say he didn't know. But I liked that there wasn't any leaks. They knew who they wanted. They knew they didn't even tell the player. So it was super exciting for him. I'm excited to see, you know, him kind of learn behind Jimmy. And I do expect that Jimmy's going to be the starter. And I think the team is really good. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm excited. I think this was great. This was a great move for them.
Did you hear Trey say that he didn't know until 2 minutes before the pick was made? I thought that was phenomenal.
I know, me too. He was like, you could tell he was kind of shocked. It was like, okay, well, and they kept panning to Mac Jones, and he was like, you know, there's nothing going on over here. So, yeah, I definitely thought that was really cool. So, yeah, like I said, we didn't really know either. Nobody really knew what was going to happen, which right. I think is the first time that we really were completely thrown. You know, with I mean, we kind of knew, but you didn't know, and you really were, like, at the last second going, I have no idea what they're doing.
Well, and I think Kyle Shanahan's really proud of himself. I mean, he even mentioned his coaching staff didn't know. The rest of the front office didn't know. It was him. It was John Lynch. That's it. Even his friends didn't know as much as they were asking. And so for them to go through this whole process and somehow in 2021 keep it a secret is really impressive. But also you can tell that this is the guy they wanted and they're thrilled to have him. And I would agree with you, Lori. I do not believe the plan is to start him. This team is too good to go with a rookie. That's not a knock on Trey Lance, but he has time. As long as Garoppolo stays healthy, which obviously is number one goal always, as long as he stays healthy, they are a Super Bowl team. I think with Trey Lance, you're going to deal with a lot of inexperience, a lot of a learning curve. And so best case scenario, he sits behind Garoppolo. He has an opportunity to learn how to be a quarterback in the NFL. And then when they're ready, they transition to him. But yeah, I mean, they're in a really good spot. And I feel like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are draft masters with the way that they've made moves up or down over the past several years. They're allergic to standing pat where they are, but man, have they made some noise with the drafts.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the idea that he finally got himself a mobile athletic quarterback here. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do with that. Cause you know, he's kind of had the Kirk Cousins mentality and the, you know, the Matt Ryans and, you know, even the Jimmy. So I'm super excited to see that. But
hey,
I'm
Matt totally Ryan won an MVP with
Kyle Shanahan. I get it. I love Matt Ryan. I'm just saying that type of quarterback. So I'm excited to see him with a more physical quarterback. But again, I think Jimmy is a great quarterback. And so I think we got the best of both worlds.
All right, Lori, I love your enthusiasm. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Thank you. Have a good night.
855-212-4227. We'll get right back to calls here. But Joe on Facebook says the Falcons, Terry Fontenot and staff grabbed a solid number four pick in Kyle Pitts, who will give Matty Ice a plethora of options to throw to. I'd look for a running back coming up next in round number two. Producer Dave, I thought this was funny. I don't know if you saw it on my Twitter earlier, so I have to share this with the audience. Remember we had the guy who called, I think it was earlier this week, but it might have been late last week, who was taking me to task for the idea. Well, he said that the Falcons should draft a quarterback. And we went back and forth about how I didn't think the Falcons should draft a quarterback. What was the point of that? How does that make them better? He said they're not going to win anything this year. You might as well go and get Justin Fields and have him sit. I mean, we had this debate until finally we just agreed to disagree. So as soon as the Falcons, and you know, because you're across the double pane glass from me every night, I've been talking about Kyle Pitts and taking a difference maker right away. I've even had debates on Twitter with people. So this guy, Tim, as soon as Kyle Pitts is chosen by the Falcons, Tim writes this tweet. Hey, are you going to apologize to the Falcons fan you ripped apart that said they were going to pick Kyle Pitts? And I was like, oh my gosh, it doesn't matter sometimes what comes out of my mouth. People hear the exact opposite.
Yeah, people need some Q-tips. They need to listen to what is happening. At no point was that ever said.
No. And so I tweeted him back and said he should apologize to me, actually.
No, that's a fact.
Anyway, funny stuff. And so, yeah, I feel like it doesn't really matter what we say on the show half the time. People just hear what they want. But the Falcons did get Kyle Pitts. I believe he's a game changer. For at least 5 seconds, I felt kind of smart. Like, woo, I was on that one. We were on the same wavelength. Let's talk to Alberto, who is in San Diego. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hola, Amy. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. Gracias, mi amigo.
Qué bueno, qué bueno. Well, I asked for a wish last year at the end of the season, and it came true.
What was that?
I wanted a quarterback. I like the Patriots.
So do you like the pick of Mac Jones?
I think Belichick wouldn't have picked him if Nick Saban wouldn't give him the okay that he's right for his system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can do great things with him. I still think Cam Newton is the starter for this year. I hope that's what it, what that's what happens. And Mac Jones sits back and learns, unless Cam Newton gets injured or fumbles a lot, which I don't think is going to happen this year. But I'm really happy for the Patriots to have their new quarterback. And with all the free agents that they got, they're going to be a tough team to beat next year.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Nick Saban connection, Alberto, because we know that Bill Belichick and Nick Saban are friends. They've participated in each other's practices and they've worked together. My mom was asking me about the Patriots quarterback. So I was driving into work and she was asking me, who is this guy? And I said, well, he's the quarterback from Alabama. And I said to her, now I don't have any idea. It actually dawned on me later. Mom might not know who Nick Saban is, but I said to her, there's a connection between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and there's no way that Belichick would have drafted this guy if not for, A, the approval of Saban, but also conversations with Nick Saban. And so I would agree with you. I'm sure there was plenty of that going on, and I'm sure that the way they speak the same language had a large part to do with them selecting Mac. Now, Mac could have gone number three. I mean, we know that's not going to happen. There could have been other teams that traded up to get him. So they got him at 15. They didn't move. That also took a little bit of everything falling into place. But absolutely, to get a Nick Saban endorsement, a young man coming out of Alabama, we know those guys are NFL ready. And that certainly applies to him, who is coming off of a national championship and a phenomenal season.
Isn't it interesting that in the AFC East, you have two quarterbacks from Alabama and two quarterbacks from the Northwest.
From the Northwest.
Well, you got the new guy, that's Zach Wilson from BYU.
The region. Okay, and you I got, gotcha.
And you got Josh Allen from the West.
From
also
Wyoming. From, I think Josh Allen went
Wyoming.
To Wyoming, right, yeah.
Yeah, and going back to the pick, the Patriots don't pick Alabama players a lot. The last time they pick a player, I think, I mean, he was a great choice and he's still playing, that's Dante Hightower. Mm. But they don't go to Alabama a lot. So for them to do that, I'm happy for it. I think it was a good draft. I mean, it's a good first round pick for the Patriots. We'll see what happens tomorrow with the other players, but I like what I see. Mm. I like the chances for the Patriots.
Well, felicidades, Alberto.
Gracias, igualmente. I love you, Amy.
Love you, too. Te quiero. Chip on Twitter, A-Law Radio, loving Mac Jones here in New England. Belichick got his guy at 15, a QB who can throw the football. Well, if you paid any attention, you know Mac Jones is not a mobile guy. He's an accurate guy. He can make every throw on the field, but one of the knocks on him is that he's not an athletic quarterback. This is not Lamar Jackson. Well, newsflash, that's also Tom Brady. Yes, he has over 1,000 yards rushing in his career, but that's not his bread and butter. I loved this tweet I got during the draft from David. As an Alabama fan, I'm happy for Mac. As a Bills fan, my heart dropped. That should tell you everything you need to know about how the rest of the AFC East feels when it comes to Belichick reloading. Would you like to hear what he had to say about Mac Jones? This is immediately following the number 15 pick.
For Mac, he's just got a lot of learning in front of him, and I know he's very anxious to get going on it and get started, and so we'll start trying to give him material to work on and be ready for the rookie minicamp in the second week of May and then on to the rookie development program and so forth.
So Belichick is not anticipating Jones will be the starter. He said Cam Newton is our quarterback, but certainly they're looking at Mac as the face of the future. And I love what Mac said. First of all, you could tell by the way he was walking and by his smile that this is exactly what he wanted. And that is what he said to Bill Belichick. This is what I was hoping would happen. Don't tell anyone. Too late. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Niners get their man. The Bears get their man. Did the Patriots get their man? Well, they got a man. We'll find out. I don't know that Belichick's ever going to tell us if that was the plan. But, man, the Bears are gushing over moving up to get Justin Fields. Plus the receivers, the cornerbacks, the offensive linemen. I love all your reactions. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we'll get to more of those comments. And then Jesse and Greg and DJ and Mike will get to you as well, 855-212-4CBS. Thanks for joining us. It's the night of the NFL draft. Finally, our questions are answered.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the fourth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida.
This moment is surreal, just starting off with getting that call. You know, I've been dreaming of getting that call since I even could think about football. So to get that call and walk across that stage and shake the commissioner's hand is something I've been dreaming of. And to actually do it, it's like surreal. I feel like I'm dreaming.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Kyle Pitts joins a dynamic quarterback and a crew of wide receivers that certainly can light it up. Offense was not the problem last year for Atlanta, but you can understand why they took the best player available. In many cases, Kyle Pitts was number two among the draft grades for all players behind one Trevor Lawrence. And so he really excited on Westwood One, talks about getting that call and about being part of the Falcons. He was very emotional as well. So really neat for him and just awesome to see all of these young men realize their dreams, and not just them, but the families and the friends that supported them for years and years and years. Now, coming up following the update with Bob Uecker, we will hear from not just Zach Wilson, who ends up as the Jets' next quarterback and, of course, is expected to start, but also Joe Douglas. And when they realized that Zach Wilson was the guy that they wanted, plus Aaron Murray, former Georgia quarterback, now with CBS Sports HQ, weighs in on Aaron Rodgers and what this is all about. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I'm glad you are as fired up as I am. Jesse is listening in Jacksonville, where the Jaguars not only have Urban Meyer, they have Trevor Lawrence, they have Travis Etienne. And Jesse, did you hear that they worked out Tim Tebow at tight end on Thursday?
So, yeah, about that. Don't even listen to that. So that was kind of embarrassing, actually. I just want to call in. First of all, I love the show.
Thank you.
But, yeah, so, I mean, Jacksonville gets a bad rap. We have for years. We had success, when we first got a team. And, you know, I'm 36, and I was going to the games in 95. I was, literally in middle school. And now I got a whole family of my own. So it's finally got a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully that is a franchise quarterback. So it's obviously exciting. But, you know, with the second pick, not too sure. I mean, Etienne obviously is a great player. I think we could have went somewhere else with that pick. Much more needed position. But, you know, the limelight's awesome. I just wanted to call in basically because I think it's about time. Jacksonville gets a bad rap. I mean, we're actually a cool city. And
bad rap, why? Are you talking about NFL or just overall in
– Well, no, national media-wise. We all listen to – you know, just some of the jokes and things like that, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, deservedly so. I mean, it's been a joke here for many years.
Well, the football team. I mean, we're not talking about the city. And people, I know people, this is, Cleveland's a great example. People would get so upset. We'd talk about the Browns, as the members of the media, and people would think we're making fun of the city. I mean, I like Jacksonville. There's nothing wrong with the city. But, I mean, the football team definitely has seen better days. But come on now, the future is bright. This is exciting.
It is exciting, and that's basically why I wanted to call in. I mean, but also I found myself. So one of the main reasons was I found myself after all the excitement before our second pick. We were they held a draft party at the stadium, and we were sitting there, and cool. Me and some of my buddies at the table, some guys across from us. We started talking, and we found ourselves talking about the Jets, and we were like, they screwed up again. So, what's your take on how the pick of the Jets. I mean, not that it has anything to do with the Jags, but we found ourselves all talking about that at the Jags stadium.
So just to clarify, well, so before I move on to that, how was it at the stadium? Was it neat to be around a lot of other people who were excited?
Yeah, it was great, but obviously, as you know, in Florida, we you know, with the COVID thing, it's like it never happened. But which is cool, but at the same time, you know, however you feel about it, but it was great. But good. Yeah, we actually were sitting there and we found ourselves all talking about the Jets, and we were like, did they screw the pickup again after Darnold?
Well, I don't think there's any way of knowing that. I mean, the fact is Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, they were out to get a quarterback that they picked. Yes, they had many kind things to say about Sam Darnold, but he wasn't their quarterback. And so the fact that they were able to get something for him and flip him to Carolina, it worked out perfectly. And as I mentioned, we'll hear Joe Douglas talk about why they settled on Zach Wilson. But they went through the whole process evaluating, and other than Trevor Lawrence, they had their pick of the litter, and they really like this guy. They've known it was going to be Zach Wilson for quite a while, so they're confident in him. But how do we know? We don't know that Trey Lance is going to pan out either. I hope they all do, right? But Trey Lance has played 17 games. He's really raw. Only one last season because of what happened with North Dakota State and the pandemic. Mac Jones has only played 17 games in college, albeit with Alabama. I don't think there's any way to know if these guys are going to pan out. There's no such thing as a can't miss, although Trevor Lawrence definitely rates really high. A lot of people had him rated as high as Andrew Luck when he came out a few years ago and was drafted by Indianapolis. So I hope it's not the case. I don't ever want to see these guys fail. It takes a lot to be able to step into a spotlight and to start for a team that's really bad, like the Jags, like the Jets. There's a lot of pressure, and sometimes that's too much for a young guy. You put him in a situation where not only is the team around him sucky, but he's just not ready. And so there's a lot to be said for having, you know, these guys having an opportunity to develop, which isn't always the case when you're drafted by a bad team. I would say with Lawrence, he's more prepared. He's known this was coming. With Zach Wilson, I mean, how many people actually knew who this guy was, say, I don't know, 10 months ago? So their paths have been completely different, but it doesn't mean that Wilson won't pan out. It just means it might take a little more investment. It might take a little more development. But man, if there's a guy I believe in right now in the NFL among the new coaches, it's Robert Saleh.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I respect that. And like I said, again, to finish it off, love the show.
Cool.
And go Jags.
Duval! Did I do it right? Maybe not. All right, Jesse, thank you so much for your phone call. Greg is listening in Ventura, California. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. I've listened to these first-round picks for dozens of years now.
Yeah.
And I really don't find that this one was very bad. I mean, it seemed like everybody what they wanted. No, everybody got what they wanted, Amy. And they picked intelligently. And the only thing that I would say to you is Aaron Rodgers, who wasn't a draft pick, his agent and he have screwed up the opportunity for him to get out of Green Bay because they didn't do it early enough to, you know, enable teams to figure out how they could get him. And
well, okay, let me cut you off there, Greg. As much as Aaron, and this was talked about earlier in the offseason, as much as Aaron may want to or think he wants to go somewhere else, grass is always greener somewhere else, right? That doesn't mean that the Packers are going to do it. And I've said this from the very beginning. Why the hell would the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers? It makes zero sense. It's the same thing with the Houston Texans in Deshaun Watson. Why would they trade him when they don't have to? Why would you? Why would the Seahawks trade Russell Wilson? So I get it. As much as the headline is, oh, Aaron Rodgers wants out, he's not happy. Well, guess what? He's under contract. And in the case of the Packers, it makes zero sense for them to trade away the NFL MVP.
I agree with you.
All right. Wow. Good. So did you enjoy the first round?
I did.
Good.
I absolutely did.
Good.
I mean, I thought they all pitched intelligently for a chance.
I'm glad to hear that, Greg. Sometimes – intelligent is not a word that we apply to sports. We get a little bit nutso. We lose our heads sometimes, but I thought the draft was perfect. Greg, thank you for your call from California. Love to hear from so many Cleveland fans and Cleveland residents who are still awake, still excited, still fired up. I thought it was a grand party. It made me jealous. I wish I was there. We'll get back to more of your calls. Plus, as I mentioned, Zach Wilson and Joe Douglas. In addition, I want you to hear from Trey Lance, because talk about a dream come true. And a guy that didn't know until 2 minutes before the pick was made.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the second pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
I feel like this ball club's improved, and I feel good about the two people and players that we brought in, and the leadership that they're going to bring, and just ecstatic really about these two young men.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
General Manager Joe Douglas of the New York Jets has his man, Robert Saleh. They have their man in Zach Wilson, the number two pick overall. Not a surprise to Zach, not a surprise to the NFL community. We knew that they were going after Zach Wilson, much to the chagrin of one producer Dave, who wanted them to take Justin Fields, who, yes, was still available. That was where Dave went in our mock draft when he picked Justin at number two. I was actually comparing the After Hours Mocky Mock, in which you made the picks, and Dave did a couple of extras where we had to fill in. We did have a few that matched up, like, for instance, the Chargers, and Dave picked for the Chargers, did in fact select Rashawn Slater with the number 13 overall pick. Now, a lot of what we saw was jumbled up, and there were guys that were pretty close to what we had thought or what we had speculated with the Mocky Mock that we did here earlier in the week. But I like the way this draft played out. It seems like a lot of teams are really excited. Not that they would say they weren't, but teams, it seemed to me, got their guys. They ended up getting who it was that they were after. For instance, the Eagles catapulting over the New York Giants, who ended up trading down. But the Eagles dealing with Dallas to move up to number 10 to be able to select Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama. And it was fun to hear Joe Judge, again, of the Giants, but part of the NFC East, talking about this trade between two of his division rivals in the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Trades happen a lot. Normally doesn't happen within division, but hey, look, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So, they made a move that worked for them. That was a good business move.
Yeah, so the Eagles wanted Devontae. They were worried that the Giants were going to grab him. The Giants end up trading down, but I don't know. Would they have selected Devontae Smith if he were still there? Would they have traded down? As it turns out, it's perfect for the Chicago Bears, who wanted to get Justin Fields with that number 11 pick and presumably keep him from going to another team right after that. Maybe. Just maybe the New England Patriots. Don't know what they would have done if Justin had still been available at 15, but they end up taking Mac Jones at 15. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Zach Wilson was asked on Westwood One, what quarterbacks do you model your play after?
A little bit of Patrick, a little bit of Aaron Rodgers. And I think I would say Patrick was modeling Aaron as well growing up, so I think that's the style of play we've all been shooting for.
Little bit of Patrick, little bit of Aaron Rodgers. But then he points out, I feel like everybody these days is modeling their game after Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Trey Lance on Westwood One. Hey, he was in the dark like the rest of us. When did he know he was getting drafted by the Niners?
Probably about 2 minutes before you guys did on TV. Again, just feel super blessed that they did that and made those sacrifices to get me.
I think that's awesome. That might be my favorite piece of this, is that Only Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch knew what they were doing. They even kept it a secret from the guy they were picking. Did you hear this? I played it earlier. Producer Dave snagged this off Twitter, and I absolutely loved it. In fact, the first time I heard it, I teared up. This is John Lynch making the call to Trey Lance.
Hey, Trey Lance.
What's going on?
You ready to do this thing, man?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the 49ers, buddy.
Thank you.
So happy to add you to our family, buddy. I'm thrilled. Yeah, congratulations, man. I'm going to pass you over to Coach Shanahan, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
What's up, man?
What's going on, Coach?
Nothing new. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm so excited, Coach.
All right. You had a hunch for a while?
Man, I didn't know, Coach. You wouldn't tell me nothing.
Hey, we didn't tell anybody, man.
I know.
I thought you could tell, though, the way I thought you got a vibe, but turn it into them.
I did, but I didn't. I didn't know, Coach.
Hey, man, it was all worth it, man. Dude, we're so pumped. So pumped, man. We'll get you out here tomorrow. Enjoy this night. Have fun with your family, man. You've earned it.
I love when Trey Lance says, "What's going on, Coach?" And Kyle's answer is, "Nothing, dude." Nothing. Nothing at all. Men, you all are so strange. All right. We're going to get to producer Dave in a second. I want to hear what he has to say about the Jets, who didn't just pick once, but picked twice, actually. Moved up to get another guy that they desperately wanted. But DJ in Boston's been hanging on for a bit. Hey, DJ, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So I think with the addition of Mac Jones, and after I get to check, I kind of want your opinion. I believe the Patriots are set up not just for one quarterback, but kind of a Saints offense, because we have Mac Jones, who's clearly very accurate and a pocket passer. He's not very mobile. We know that. So we have that. We have Cam Newton, who's also mobile. And we also have Jarry Stidham, who's a long arm. So he had the best of all three worlds in situational football.
Oh, my God. They're not playing situational football, though. That doesn't happen in the NFL, except for with the New Orleans Saints.
But it's what I was just saying, like, if Cam Newton Bill Belichick positioned himself for that situation. I was kind of seeing how you saw that playoff. Yeah, but you obviously answered the question. But with Matt Jones, I just want to see, how do you feel about when he's not around the offense? Like, he did have two of the best receivers, as we see, and he's going to a place where there's no receivers. That is, I just want to know my question is, how do you think he'll do if he doesn't go off well? Like, it's not a good start in New England.
Well, I don't think he's going to start this year. I feel like Bill Belichick has been pretty open about the fact that they want Cam Newton to do this in year number two. Now, could it turn out to be a crappy like it was in year number one? Yes. But I do think that Cam, as intelligent as he is, the relationship he and Belichick have, the fact that I actually think they've added some receivers now. I mean, they've gone out there and they've done their due diligence to be able to add pieces around him. Not to mention, they're going to have more time, another offseason, where Cam can get comfortable with the guys he had. So I don't think I agree with you that the Patriots don't have anybody for him to throw to. And the idea is not for Mac Jones to start right now. Cam's on another one-year deal. He's a veteran. He remained durable last year. I know he was out with some COVID protocols, but he definitely was on the field. And it was a mess last season. They had so many players opt out because of COVID. They had guys get hurt like Julian Edelman. It was rough. And still, they managed to go 7-9. I don't know that if we see Mac Jones on the field this year, that's a positive. I think what they want is for Cam to be a bridge guy. And I think Cam would like to be able to audition for another job if possible. So, yeah, I think Mac Jones has a perfect situation where he can learn. And I know we haven't heard from him yet here on the show, but he was beaming on the TV broadcast, and this is exactly what he wants, right? This is exactly what he was hoping for.
So, yeah, I just have one more question. So, let's just say the Patriots go, they just start off bad with Cam Newton. What do you think is the line where they'll put in Mac Jones? Is it 5-0-5 or Like, what do you think he's obligated to throw Mac Jones if things
no.
go wrong?
No, he's not obligated to do anything. Since when does Bill Belichick get told what to do? That doesn't happen. No, I don't think they're going to go 0-5, but I haven't looked at their schedule. In fact, their schedule comes out. All the schedules come out in mid-May. I think this is not a situation where they're throwing Mac Jones out there until he's ready. Belichick's got some patience, and I think he's wanting to see this young man develop and put him in at the right time. Whatever that happens to be, I don't know. Certainly the hope is that Cam and the rest of the offense will be better to start out 21. I got to let you go, DJ, but thank you so much for your phone call in Boston. You think about the receivers they have now and the tight ends they brought in as well, right? Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Nelson Agholor. They've got N'Keal Harry, who they've had for a couple of years, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, who Cam really likes. I don't know that they're devoid now of receivers. They also have a really good offensive line, so I think it's going to be better this season. But that's the Patriots. Elsewhere in the AFC East, producer Dave, Zach Wilson, and the Jets move up to get another great player, a guy they really like, Elijah Vera Tucker at number 14.
So overall, I really like what they did today. I love working backwards. I love the trade up. You don't really give up that much. You move from the third back to the fourth, and then you give up another third. I don't mind that at all to get a guy who I think is potentially the best lineman in the draft. I know there's a couple guys that went ahead of him, but he has that kind of, you know, tape. I personally, as I've mentioned, obviously with our mock draft, I don't love Zach Wilson. I wouldn't have picked him there. I would have taken Justin Fields. I think he's going to be very good at the next level, but I'm hoping that I'm wrong. And I like what they're building. I like the fact that they have
Robert Saleh.
I like him, and I like Joe Douglas. He likes to build from the inside out, offensive line, and they had those extra picks to have the ability to move back up, and I like acquiring picks and assets instead of always giving them away.
Yeah, they trade with the Vikings to move up to number 14. They get the O-lineman, Elijah Vera Tucker. I know that you're not thrilled with the Zach Wilson. It just came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere, but they did their due diligence. They watched a lot of tape. They saw his pro day. They said it was his pro day that convinced them. All right, coming up next, Oklahoma Athletic Director Joe Castiglione.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.